Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Nick, why are you hanging from the ceiling and spinning around?
Well, I'm revolving, of course.
That was terrible. Hello, everyone. This is Mike Wagner, and I'm joined today by my good friend.
Hey, it's Nick Scalera.
And we are obviously not Jim and Patrick, and we'll be sitting in for them today. And today's topic is the newly released Beatles remix of the Revolver album. There's been different sort of re-releases over the years, and some of them the Beatles have had have been remixes, and some of them have been remasters, and some of them have been mono mixes. And this particular release was a remix, a true remix. And we'll get into a little bit about how they did this one, because there was a special way they did this one. But it's also kind of in a line that they've been doing for several years now. So this is like, what, the fifth one they've done, Nick? It's they started off with Sgt. Pepper's in 2017, right?
Yeah, they got into this thing where they were sort of doing, you know, a marking the year. So 2017 was that 60 years from 1967?
Yeah.
And then they did Sgt. Pepper. The next year they did White Album, then Abbey Road. And we even got a Let It Be remix that we were talking about earlier that we both just kind of missed because it came out around the same time as the Get Back film. And we were so obsessed with that. I didn't really think too much about the...
How are we supposed to listen to the music when we're just sitting watching the movie over and over and over again?
Right. Yeah. It's 24 hours of footage to get through. You
I know, mean, we're busy people here watching Beatles movies.
So exactly. Anyway. Yeah, so, you know, they sort of went on that that year-to-year thing, and I think a lot of the community was like, well, I know for years people have dreamed about a Revolver remix, right? Because it, you know, and it doesn't sound fantastic in the stereo mix. I know... I guess the one that sort of made the biggest impression on me with Revolver, like when I was a kid, I had the 11 song version one that was the Capitol release and was missing three songs. And it's sort of like weird that we all had that experience in the US. But in the 80s, I got the CDs. I think, Mike, you probably also did as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And that's when we were first exposed to the full glory of the 14 songs of Revolver. And that's when I remember really realizing that this is absolutely incredible and amazing record. But the sound quality wasn't great in 87. It was improved a bit in 2009 by a remastering.
Correct. To explain the difference between remix and remastering is remixing is you could literally change the levels on the song and where it is, whether it's in your left speaker or it's centered or it's in your right speaker or somewhere in between. Most people do left, center, or right, as opposed to remastering, which is like EQing and making it a bit louder and the music just crisper and clearer. That's the main difference. When you remaster, you do not change the song. You just make it a little bit clearer. But this is a remix where they literally move things from one ear to the other, like from, you know, from one pan one way to the other. Some things were centered. Today we're going to talk about the remixing. This whole package also came with a whole set of outtakes and paperback writer and Rain, which were recorded while they were recording the Revolver album, but we'll get to that tomorrow. I think what we want to start with first, Nick, is the most dramatic change on a song, and also the first song that was released for this particular one is Taxman. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Right. Well, I mean, Taxman is the lead song on Revolver. It's a George Harrison song, which, you know, it's one of the remarkable things about Revolver was how much how much George we have on Revolver, which I love. I'm a huge George fan. No problem there. But the Taxman the remaster and the CD that I remember from 1987 was based on this stereo mix that was done back in 1966. And the stereo mixes back then were a bit of an afterthought. It was a new technology. Most folks were still listening in mono on small tinny speakers. And what you end up getting on Taxman is just this very, very radical separation between what you hear in one ear and what you hear in the other. And what you hear in one ear is a ton of instrumentation. And in the other ear, I think you hear what, like the tambourine
cowbell.
And the voice? A cowbell.
That's right. It literally is cowbell in one ear. Right. It's like it points.
So, you know, it never sounded great. It sounds especially troubling in headphones, which really, you know, we'll talk about that a bit, but that even enhances the sort of the separation there, where you're getting a lot of sound in one ear and not much in the other ear. And this is where you get into this issue of what modern remixing talks about, the sound stage, right? And the way I think about the sound stage is, I think about, imagine if I was actually watching the Beatles on stage. My dream come true. It never happened. But if that was the case, right, you're looking at the band. There's no screaming also, as I see it in my dreams. No screaming, just me and the Beatles. And, you know, on the right are the guitars, right? George and John sort of stood to the right. The drums are right in the center, and Paul is to the left, right? And it's sort of like you kind of imagine those sounds coming at you in that sort of order, you know, from left to right. But it, you know, the way they were mixed, it made no sense, right? I think all the guitars are in the left on
right,
the original
so
Taxman.
On this one, what they would do, they played for Taxman, we'll listen just a bit, is the guitar, bass, and drums, just one guitar, is all on the left channel. And then George's voice is centered, and then there's some stuff on the right hand side. Like, I think the guitar solo is on the right hand side too. So let's go ahead and listen to it now. So first what we'll do is we'll play the 2009 remastered stereo version that most of us have been listening to now for several years. And then we'll play the newly released 2022 version.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will. There's one for you, 19 for me. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Be thankful I don't take it all. The tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. If you drive a car, I'll tax the street. If you try to.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for.
I mean, wow, it's just amazing to sort of hear these sounds separated from one ear and sort of put out where they should be, right? You get the vocals in the middle. You can the guitar solo just comes at you with an attack that's unbelievable out of one ear, and then you've got the rhythm guitar in the other ear, and it just, you get a fuller, richer essence of this song that just makes it come alive. I mean, it always felt a bit muted to me in the 2009 mix, but this one just sort of jumps out.
So I think now would be a good time to talk about how they did this. unlike the Sgt. Pepper ones, where they, like what you just heard, they recorded guitar, bass, and drums. On Pepper, they could go back to the original guitar, bass, and drums that were separated because they had those on the separate tracks. On this one, they were just recorded right into the one track. So the way they did this is when they made Get Back, the movie, they developed this artificial intelligence software that would separate the voices from the music that was being played, so you could hear you could hear them talking in the movie, so it wasn't so blended in with the background music, or like, because they were constantly in the movie. If you watch them, they learn that if they play while they talk, they couldn't be heard. Right? They were,
yes, so, it was their privacy tool that they implemented. So,
and so what it got so developed that they could literally take right down to like, and I've heard things about, by the way, I don't know what happened to Giles Martin. He didn't show up today, Nick. We put the invitation out. I don't know where
that dude
is. I sent
him a cake, you know, apple pie, and just didn't work.
So I don't understand these people, but I heard him talking about it and demonstrating it. And he was playing Taxman. He goes, okay, here's Taxman, like what you just heard. Then it was like the stereo version. And then he's like, okay, here's just Ringo's drums, which they were able to separate out of there. And then he made a track of that. And then you could tell, like in this mix, Ringo was centered, Paul was slightly left. And then the guitars, you know, based upon which it was lead or the stabbing sort of guitar, he was in the right channel. And it's just, you're just like, wow, how did that's pretty amazing. So,
yeah, it just jumps out at you.
What we'd like to do is focus in on a couple of the other tracks that we really found that were nicely improved. We'll go through a couple songs here. We'll play the 2009 version and the 2022 version. So the first one we wanted to talk about is Love You Too, which is another George song.
Yeah. I've always loved the Indian stuff that George got into. This song has always been a highlight for me, even the 2009 mix. And I thought it sounded pretty good back in the day. But what you hear in the 2022 remix is the sitar is just so much more complex when it moves from just being stuck in your left ear to moving across the whole soundstage, really. It is so much it's so rich. And you also gain an appreciation for George's ability to play this difficult instrument. There's a lot going on, right? And so you hear that the sitar is unbelievably crisp and clear and so much better defined. The tabla, which are the sort of bongo type drums that were played, I felt like I could hear the fingertips on them in the new remix, which just kind of blew my mind. Like I could just sort of picture the fingers striking the drum there. So, you know, it was always been a highlight for me, and the new mix just sort of really, you know, it makes it so much richer to have that sort of full 360 degree kind of, you know, soundscape for this, where you hear each droning string. I mean, it's like the definition is absolutely amazing.
The next song we want to talk about is For No One. There's two that we'll get to it next, but this is probably the one that is just really very, very nicely proved. You get a much better soundscape.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is one of the songs that I was talking to Mike earlier, saying that like some of the songs that I didn't rate as highly as others have sort of grown in my estimation by having some of these better remixes to listen to. Just got a new appreciation for 401, which is just a crushingly, brutally sad song. The instrumentation itself is this sort of kind of, you really get that sort of Baroque pop kind of sense with the clavichord and separating the clavichord from the piano. It's just so much richer. But it's a gorgeous song, and it just sounds so much better in this 2022 version. It brings out aspects that I didn't really notice before. And it's really a masterpiece. And that's one of the things about Revolver that just will blow my mind forever is how many masterpieces there are on this album. I mean, there are so many different styles, and this is a very unique track. And it's only, 2 minutes? A lot of them are only like 2 minutes, 10, 15 seconds. But wow, this mix is just phenomenal.
Your day breaks, your mind aches. You find that all her words of kindness linger on when she no longer needs you. She wakes up, she makes up. She takes her time and doesn't feel she has to hurry. She no longer needs you. And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years. Your day breaks, your mind aches. You find that all her words of kindness linger on when she no longer needs you. She wakes up, she makes up. She takes her time and doesn't feel she has to hurry. She no longer needs you. And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years.
Next one we'd like to feature is, again with the horns, is Got to Get You Into My Life. And this one really jumps out at you, I think. It's not quite as stark as Taxman, but man, these horns at the beginning sound great. And let's just jump in and we'll come back and talk about it.
I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Ooh, then I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? I was alone, I took a ride, I didn't know what I would find there. Another road where maybe I could see another kind of mind there. Ooh, then I suddenly see you. Ooh, did I tell you I need you every single day of my life? You didn't run, you didn't lie.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's amazing. It's amazing. The horns, having them sort of centered and coming, you know, sort of in the center of this stage is just amazing. Because, and you hear like, I'm not an expert on actually how this thing was orchestrated in terms of what horns were used, but I feel like it sounds like there's 15 different horns going at once, and you feel like you can hear all of them. And there's one that just sort of plays this sort of droney note that I have never really noticed before, but you can hear it in this mix. Of course, Paul's bass is amazing. I mean, this was his, like, I'm going to, like, you know, go full on James Jamerson with this, you know, I'm going to get that Motown sound, and you could sort of, you could hear that. You know, wow, amazing. And the vocals sound fantastic too. And that's something that, like, just in general, The vocals, the backing vocals, the lead vocals are so much richer on this mix than the 2009.
Between For No One and Got to Get You to My Life, these are the ones that I think are the most improved out of this lot. So the next one that we want to talk about is the amazing track Tomorrow Never Knows. And there's probably books written on the recording of this song.
Oh, for sure. I own a couple of them. So I can verify that. Tomorrow Never Knows is an interesting case because it's probably worth chatting a little bit about the fact that there are folks out there in the Beatles, the Beatlemaniac community, who are like, why would you touch a song like Tomorrow Never Knows? It's perfect as is. That's a good argument to make. I mean, the stereo 2009 mix of Tomorrow Never Knows is pretty damn awesome.
It's mind blowing. It's still great.
And then there are we didn't actually get into this issue, but of course there are the mono enthusiasts out there as well who will claim that the only way to listen to Revolver is in mono because that is the way it was intended by the Beatles and that most attention was put into that mix. So you can listen to Tomorrow Never Knows in mono. It also sounds amazing, right? But I think there was some restraint in what they did here because refer to what Mike was talking about earlier. I mean, when this technology allowed them to have all the tracks, I mean, they could have gone hog wild and really changed things radically. And I think what happens on this 2022 mix of Tomorrow Never Knows is they actually, they improve it and they get closer to some things that kind of make sense based on the context of the song, right? So my one big example here is when you listen to the new remix of this song with headphones on, especially in the center of your head, you get the bass and that unbelievably driving machine-like Ringo drums. And that just sort of forms this like this solid, like spherical wedge in the middle of your head. And then those sound effects, the tape loops, those sort of chirping birdie sounds, they use the new technology and the ability to sort of separate those out. And what Giles does is he sort of moves those around. They swirl around your head.
He did the 60s things that everybody did in the 60s where they like go from ear to ear and all that sort of stuff, right? He does it, and he does it. There's one dramatic bit of it, but it's done well.
I think so. I think it's respectful, and I think it honors the spirit of what the Beatles were trying to do, right? I mean, there's this story about John Lennon who wanted all kind of effects on his vocals for this song. And I won't get into it. It'd be a half hour story to discuss it. But
again,
at one point,
there's books on this song.
But there's one just anecdote I have to relate is at one point, John asked George Martin and Jeff Emerick if he could do his vocals hanging upside down and being spun around a microphone. And that just
as you do.
And that just makes me think that I think if the technology were available, John probably would have thought the idea of swirling the sound effects around your head probably made a lot of sense, right? So I think it's a good addition. You know, as always, it's sharper and clearer everything. So you've got that going for it. You've got this enhanced sort of swirling effect that just makes the ultimate psychedelic song even more so. But it's respectful. It makes sense. It's not pulled out of context. You know, in the 2009 does something similar, they just don't have the same technology. Like in the 2009, you'll hear in the right ear, you'll hear a chirp. And then in the left, so the things sort of light up left and right, but they don't move in the way they do in a 2022 remix. Yeah, so
that's true.
It's a little bit of it's respectful, but they were kind of taking some liberties here, but I think it makes sense in the context of the music to do it this way. We'll be right back.
woke up at early in the morning today. This was released, and we've been talking about it since the day it came out. So, I mean, this is a bit of a nerdy topic, and this remix was done by a Beatleholic for a Beatleholics. You know, if you don't like this album before, you're not going to like it now. If you love this album before, you might have different opinions now. I mean, this is my favorite album of all time. And Nick and I talked a lot about this, is that where you listen to the remix really mattered a lot on this one, I think. When I listen to it in the car, I don't notice things as much as opposed to when you listen to them in headphones. But I think one thing people have to remember is, like, back, you know, in 1966, you know, like, stereo wasn't really a thing. And if you had stereo, it wasn't like you had a nice, you know, mixed, a nice split situation where you got this great stereo set up in your house. You know, that it didn't exist. And you know, you do get a lot of people, you know, sort of bitching about the remixes. And I cracked a joke to Nick. I was like, you know, what they should just do is just release all the tracks and let people make their own mixes. And then they can complain about their own mixes and just keep it all to themselves.
Right.
But I mean, I said this to Nick a bunch of times too. It's like, you know, mixing is a minefield of stuff. And what they try to do here is keep it like in the spirit of the original one. And I think it's done well. You know, I'm fine with what they did. I'm glad they did it. But you know, that being said, the difference, how you listen to it matters. And so we'll get into the one song that we both agree that it didn't work on the remix for the headphones, but I don't notice it. If all I ever listened to it was like in my car, or like, you know, like the speaker that we have sometimes, just music playing in the house, I don't think I ever was noticed it. And that's She Said, She Said.
Yeah.
And so what they did on that is they split the guitars. And that's really where the problem comes in, because it's like they were meant to be played together, right? As in one track almost, right? If they never thought of that as being two separate guitars. And so it doesn't really work. And you got this one guitar like kind of hanging in one of your ears, and it's like, wait, that sounds weird.
She said, I know what it's like to be dead. I know what it is to be sad. And she's making me feel like I've never been born.
First time I listened to it, I was like, and I have to preface this by saying that She Said, She Said was my all-time favorite. That was my introduction to Revolver. That was a song I was like, this is what turned me on to Revolver as a young lad. Like, this song was absolutely my stone cold favorite. Yeah, as a young lad in Liverpool. And so when I first played this one, and I did listen to it the first time in headphones, I got the CD, so I'm listening to a very clean copy. I got a nice set of headphones on. And I was like, what just happened? What? They ruined my favorite song. Because what, you know, whether it was intentional or not, the effect of the two guitars in the original mix is that they blend, right? And it just feels like that was either intentional or just the way the technology was going to kick it out back then. And either
also back then, remember, they thought of things in mono. So when you record nowadays, you think like, oh, I'm going to double track this guitar. They would never think of double tracking a guitar back then. There was two guitar right. players, and they were doing two different parts. Nowadays, you double track almost, a lot of people double track every single guitar track. I mean, some people do, some people don't, but a lot of people do. Back then, it was never even thought of. It would just, you just even think of it, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it just, you know, it has this effect. Not only do you sort of hear, it almost sounds sloppy. It sounds like the rhythm guitar, the sort of plinky guitar that you hear outside of the main riff sounds like it's not played well. And that is the first time I was ever on this album, which is phenomenally played by the Beatles, right. Phenomenally performed.
Yes,
right?
Unbelievably.
They
performed.
Were a good
they were
damn
band. They were a great band. Let's not
right. And then you listen to this, you're like, what's going on with that guitar? And it just gets so stuck. It became so distracting that I couldn't enjoy the other aspects. But I think also, and here's one that suffers a bit from being cleaned up and being a little bit more pristine, because I think she said it's kind of a snarling song.
Right.
It's pretty, you know, for the Beatles, pretty heavy distortion on the guitars, and it's really sharp, and you lose that. Use that dirtiness on this remix. Now, that being said, to Mike's point, I played it on my stereo. I don't have great separation on my two speakers just because my room isn't too big, but it does blend better than it does on headphones.
So to wrap up, final thoughts on the remix, Nick?
I mean, my final thoughts are, God bless you, Peter Jackson, and that wonderful, magical land of New Zealand that you come from. See, I got a mention in there, Mike.
Oh,
I mean,
that's
seriously.
Surprising.
Right. You know, it's a gift. It's a huge gift. And I, you know, I'm not a purist. I want to be able, I just, if there's an opportunity to hear the Beatles' instruments and their voices better, I'm all there for
yeah.
it.
And it's worth a go.
This is a gift. Know? It's worth a go. And we, you know, what's crazy about this, and we have to sort of think about the perspective of history, is like 4 years ago, when the Pepper Mix came out, everyone was saying, well, this will never happen with Revolver. It sucks, but they won't be able to do it with Revolver. And we were like, yep, that's too bad. You know, 5 years later, we've got the damn thing.
Right.
And it's unbelievable.
Right. I mean, it is, you know, a lot of people like to complain. And as I've said, I don't know why the Beatles didn't check on Twitter for their mixes in 66. I mean, I don't know what they were thinking, but they should have done. And, but it's, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'm happy they did it. There's a lot of the Beatles stuff that I just, even for people like me, it just gets a bit much. Like, I don't really need the one album, you know, it's like there's, I don't need the mono mixes. I'm sorry. I'm just not a big fan of the mono stuff. You send your comments to Nick, 'cause I really don't want to hear it. It's not my thing. I'm not a purist like that. And I also, while I'm at it, I listen to Pet Sounds stereo mixes as well. I'm glad they did it. It for me, a big Beatles fan, I enjoyed it. And I think Nick's that about the same for you.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing is, like, I just love the fact that, you know, people are talking about this album again. You know, people online are talking about it. It went back into the charts. I mean, it's not Taylor Swift, but like the album went back into the charts. There's interest is still there. It gives us a chance to sort of step back and just appreciate this thing for what it is.
And you do when you listen to it. I mean, for me, I'm always reminded like why they're my favorite band. And this reminds me, and you're like, they just effortlessly move from song to song. It's fantastic. Okay, so if you have any comments, questions, you can dial the Echo Park Jimmy line, 612-something-something, 555-1212-1984. And or the emails, rocketsuburbspod.com, and the Twitters, assuming it's still working by the time this is released, or Facebook. And I think that's it. Nick, my friend, will be back tomorrow to discuss Outtakes and the much-loved Rain and Paperback Writer. How about that?
Awesome.
So we'll see everybody tomorrow, and talk to you then.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Was this the first time the word patina was used in a Rock in the Suburbs podcast? I would like to lay claim to that.
This should be used more often. It's a good word.